In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the appointed reading for the day from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, verses 36 to 43. This retrospective summary of Jesus' earthly ministry notes and explains the twofold response to him of faith and unfaith, and a concluding word about some Jews who believed in Jesus but did not confess their faith strikes two notes of our seminary theme in this anniversary year of the Augsburg Confession and the Book of Concord, We Believe, Teach, and Confess. John 12, 36 to 43. When Jesus had said this, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, yet they did not believe in him. It was that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for Isaiah again said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts, and turn their knee to heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. A young Christian man got a job one summer working up north in a lumber camp. And his family was concerned about how the rough lumberjacks would treat him because they knew of his sincere devotion and his practice of daily prayer. When the summer was over and the young man returned home, his parents asked him, Did you get along all right? Did the rough old timers in the camp make fun of you when they found out you were a Christian? Oh, I got along fine, he said. They never found out. You know instinctively that there's something wrong about this. We believe must be followed by we confess. The faith of the heart is no secret matter, but is complemented with the confession of the lips. As the twin statements of St. Paul make clear, for a man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. In this principle lies the basis of our responsibility and our work as proclaimers, evangelists. Our believing must lead to an honest and appropriate confession. And St. John tells us that some of the authorities believed in Jesus. I thought rightfully turned to men like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. There is no denying that men such as they were in a difficult position. Tension, always right in Jerusalem at the Passover, was even greater this year than usual, but with the dissensions of hopes and fears regarding Jesus of Nazareth. Picture the gathering of the great Sanhedrin, and consider the plight of men like Nicodemus or Joseph. Caiaphas is carrying on about how this threat must be stopped. Jesus must die. And Nicodemus and Joseph, with their ever so tenuous faith, are searching within themselves to find a way to slow down this juggernaut of injustice. But without openly admitting that they are believers, they are disciples of this Jesus. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? Nicodemus had asked. And they had replied to him, "Are you from Galilee too?" So they believed in him after a manner, but did not openly confess their faith. Their silence in that situation may be understandable, but it is inexcusable. St. John exposes its shameful basis. They feared the reprisals of their peers, that they would be put out of the synagogue. They valued the approval men give more than the honor God bestows. At a portion of our life which we spend around here, it's pretty much in an atmosphere where confessing our faith openly may not burn for us the reprisals and disapproval of men. But parts of our life are also spent in places where our Christian confession is by no means automatically welcome. Places of work, places of recreation, neighborhoods in which we live, communities into which our ministry outreach is carried. And thinking about it a moment, it must also be said that even in this place, there can indeed arise the temptation to draw our efforts into seeking the approval of men by relegating to second place that service to Christ which brings the honor God bestows. None of us has attained the spiritual integrity which begets a constant and sincere confession of the faith planted within us. There came a point, you recall, after all, and then not only Nicodemus, but even Simon Peter and all the rest of the disciples denied the opposite of confess, denied Jesus. And we are out of touch with reality if we suppose that our professional religious vocation automatically provides us with the zeal and the strength needed to bridge the gap between belief and confession. Ultimately, what hinders our confession is the same thing that hinders those Jews in our text. The anxious clinging to human values which is due to an immature faith. And therefore, our hope of becoming more consistent confessors and better evangelists is the same as that of those Jews and of Peter and all the other disciples. They too were weak in faith, but were strengthened by the Spirit and made bold for their confession. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Strength comes that help from God himself. Fortunately, we are not left to our own devices. No techniques of self-improvement, no human method feeds the faith that strengthens the link between belief and confession. But it is God's work in us. His work that he does through his powerful word. Faith also comes by hearing. So hear and heed the report, the prophetic message, and the apostolic teaching which reveals the strong arm of God at work in saving us. Isaiah saw the glory of God in that dim and winter-shaking vision, and we have his report. St. John testified to the glory of God in Jesus, the Word made flesh, and we have his testimony. St. Paul saw the Lord Jesus himself in all his glory on the road to Damascus, and we have not only his letters, but also Acts' record of the powerful effect of his confession. Their word, God's word, is the source of the power that strengthens us. And from that word we also hear the encouraging promise that Jesus spoke. Everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And after his resurrection, he repeated that promise in his message to the church of Sardis. He who conquers shall be clad thus in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. God keep you in his word, give you growth in faith, and so increase in you that spiritual integrity which leads from faith to confession, so that you may hear that promise fulfilled in heaven. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.